quarter to nine today. So let me know when stuff, like a minute or two before, right? We're learning the Perush of Rav Aviner on Eretz Hatchia, Paragimel. Eretz Hatchia Paragimel. The difficulty that we've had climbing out of the culture of a certain mindset of the world of Europe, and we're still struggling with that, to reestablish our entire existence based upon HaTov HaMuchlat Eloki. HaTov HaMuchlat Eloki, the absolute Tov Eloki, good, but not good that is decided in classrooms in universities or in courtrooms, but the good that is the absolute good as is defined by Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Tov Eloki that comes completely from the desire to give. We see that that was the test of Rivki Menu coming into Am Yisrael. It was very, very posh. It was very, very simple. The union of being able to do something for completely altruistic reason without any cheshbon of the self. That is something which is foreign to the world of Canaan, to the world, to the Western world. It's foreign to that world. That Bechina that was able to be seen in Rivki Imenu, Gam Legmalech Eshav, Beteir Ha'ayna, the whole inyan of the establishment of Kedushas Yisrael is based upon HaToyev Eloki HaMuchlat. HaToyev Eloki HaMuchlat. And that's something that, with the exception of some rare individuals, was not chelika of that world that we were sitting in for so long in Europe. So we're on page 66. I hope that you still have the pages. On page 66, you have Fabstad until 69. No, you have until 71, yeah, right? I think. Okay. Well, those of you that don't have, you don't have until 71. In Yeshiva, there was this guy that used to, he was a little strange guy. He used to always say before Marav, he used to say, you don't have to say Al Nisim. Like any day of the year, he said, you don't have to say Al Nisim today. And if you don't say it, you don't have to say it again. He was just a strange guy. You know? Like in every yeshiva, you have guys like this. All right. Omnam, on page 66, Omnam Yechidei Ha'enoshius. Yechidei Ha'enoshius, Rav Kook says, those are Yechidei Yechidim. These are very, very rare individuals. Histaglu ala Tov Ha'Elyon. There have been rare individuals among the nations of the world who have taken that journey and have longed to come to a place of HaTov Ha'Elyon. Obviously, without mitzvahs, there's a limitation to where a person can go without the Nefesh Elokis. But still, such an aspiration is extraordinarily noble and very rare. Adesh shebechol am on the mitzvim yichidei skula shahogu ra yoyneis gedolu v'nifloim. Av chayu al piyam, that we've seen from the nations of the world that there are individuals who had exceptional ways of thinking and aspired to live lives that were very, very noble and very pure and very good. Remember when I was a kid, so I used to read a lot of biographies. That was a very popular thing. My father wasn't so happy. He was reading. So he used to always remind me, like I was reading about composers and about famous inventors. I was a little kid. My father always would say to him, "Don't forget, he's a mushkas. Don't forget him." So I read, you know, he wants to don't get too enamored with these people, you know, Mozart and these. I used to read about these biographies of presidents. My father said, he did good things, but they're mushkas. But then I remember I read a book about Albert Schweitzer. You ever hear of him? Never heard of him. He's a, okay, he's a chashuva person. So I read a book about his besiris nefesh, what he was doing to help people who were sick that had leprosy. And I remember I said to my father, I think maybe, Daddy, this guy is not a mushkos. Someone says, Zech is a mushkos. So I said, I think maybe not. You want to look at this? My father read it. It was like a children's book. I gave him to read. I was very little. I gave him this thing on Albert Schweitzer. And my father said to me, Mr. Ken, this fellow, such a person that Mesiris Nefesh. But then at the end he had to say, probably he was an anti-Semite. I said, I don't know if he was an anti-Semite, but look what he was Moshe. And then my father said, yeah, there's something what he did. There are people that are Yechidim that are have such an inyan to do wondrous things, to live lives that are different. Avlo umashleima, Rav Kook says, but not a nation like that. And there isn't a nation whose entire existence is breathing that and comes from that, is based upon that. Yesterday, sitting together with Yitzhak Mordechai and El Islam, which we're trying to plan out the itinerary for this year's trip, and Yitzhak Hashem, after Lag BaOmer we're going to Hungary this year. Soon you can get the information. It's for guys, I'm sorry. But we're going to Hungary. It's a little bit more cheerful than the last two, than Poland. We're going Hashem to Hungary, and the main stops that we're making there is in Kerestir by Abshaila Kerestir, and Eli was telling us he's been there many times. He said that he was there with Rabbi Shemaya Morgenstern. Rabbi Shemaya was for 2 hours, mamish with murdered bechias by Abshaila Kerestir, crying, and he was saying how there are so many people are going to Abshaila. Especially some chassidim day and night by Abshaila. They built a whole hachnasas orchim there and a mikveh, and they made a whole matzav by Abshaila Kerestir. And it's interesting, all the years it wasn't so much of a tumult, and now it came by Abshaila. You know, in Hungary, all the Jews live very strongly with Abshaila. My father told me that Abshaila Kerestir had a picture on their wall, and all the Jews in Hungary, that tmimus and that. The Indian of Abshaila Kerestir was chesed. I'm sure some of you have heard about him. His entire muhus was to give. And Eli was saying to us when we were talking over the trip yesterday, so he said that Jews are so drawn, he says, especially the chassidim, the mamish, coming in droves to Abshaila Kerestir. He said that feeling of wanting to have a connection to a person who is purely good. Purely good. Abshaila is Tov Muchlat. Tov Eloki Muchlat. That was Abshaila. Not even the worst anti-Semite knew what to say about him, because he was also giving him to eat and taking care of him. It was mamash a toiv muchlat, and Jews want very much to have a connection to that. They feel very drawn to that, something very special. Even though you can't find Torahs, that Reb Shaila said, we don't have any Torahs. There's a vart here and a vart there that came down, but we don't have svarim or Torahs. We don't know that he gave drushas, barely said a word or two of Torah, but he was constantly giving and giving and giving, didn't stop his giving, and that's the essence of Am Yisrael. And so people feel very drawn to that. People feel so connected to the Chafetz Chaim, right, from the time that we're in the world. The Chafetz Chaim, even people that didn't learn his Sfarim, that can't say Mishnah Brura, clearly one sif cut and clear in the Mishnah Brura, but the person, the Chafetz Chaim, how we look to that person, and lahavdol by the nations of the world, so there is an aspiration that people have, and that they want to be good. By everybody, people want to be good. I was reading an article that in Pittsburgh, what the tithe of the goyim that are there, the goyim that they're coming over, it's unbelievable. They're coming to give and to bring things, and that to help people and to offer the whatever they can do to be there for people. It's talking something. People are good. Bad some people are good. People are good. And they aspire to be better. There is such an inyan, but that an entire nation should be yoinik, that its entire existence is toiv hamuchlat eloki, and not the toiv that's defined, again, by human beings, but hamuchlat eloki, absolute goodness, absolute kindness. It's only Am Yisrael. Avlo umu shleima. So if Avinir explains, we don't find an entire nation that lives who's Torah, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, especially Torah Shebaal Peh, because Torah Shebichsav, we don't understand what's going on so much. But the entire, all that we have something called halacha. Who has halacha? Where's the halacha? What's halacha? So already we live this way, so we take it for granted. Halacha, in the eyes of the world, is a strange thing. That you and I live every single moment of our lives, we're living, whether we're thinking about it, we should be thinking about it, it's kedai to think about it. But whether we're thinking about it or not thinking about it, we're living according to the Torah L'Kiyam Muchlat, the absolute goodness. Torah L'Kiyam Muchlat. Every single thing in our davening, everything that we do, every minute of the day, halacha. There's no nation in the world that has an inyan like that, halacha. When something happens, you're inspired to do something good. But to live a life that's every single moment is in that Torah L'Kiyam Muchlat, that's only Am Yisrael. There are beautiful ideas in the world, there are beautiful concepts and notions, but to live according to that ideal. So we live according to that ideal. Of course, there are many Jews who unfortunately, that they don't think that they can, or they've forgotten it, or they weren't taught. But that's how we were raised as a nation, to live according to that Torah L'Kiyam Muchlat. She Goy Tzadik Shomer Emunah. That the entire nation is called Goy Tzadik Shomer Emunah. Goy Tzadik Shomer Emunah. Look at footnote 112 and 113. So Moshe of rich people got together for a very, very big banquet, a meal. Kasher schuma kesef sheshilmo avu kol mana yochel ha'achel mishpocha shlanim b'meshach chaydeshon. And the amount of money they spent for each portion, for each course, could feed a poor family for months. I mean, you hear about things like this now, we see things like this, even Amcha Beis Yisrael, that thank God we're living in a time where Jews have, people have some more money, and they're going out to eat, and they're spending on a bottle of wine, $500, but to have a supper out, a meal out, to spend $600, $700 to eat with the family, and things like this, or people go for Sukkot to Yisrael, and this is a new thing to take out your kids, friends, you know, in the hotel to eat by you.
It's not new.
So then they can leave behind $5,000-$6,000. People are telling me. $5,000-$6,000. This is money that could feed a poor family for a good couple of months. $5,000-$6,000. To leave in a hotel, and the type of food that we're eating, and the way that we're eating. When you bring these things up, people get upset. That, like, you know, this also you're taking away from us, that we have a little money, we can't enjoy ourselves. Why can't you have a $500 bottle of wine? There's a certain sensitivity that each should have. But it's very hard to talk about these things. But you could imagine this, Marshall. People are sitting together, rich people, and they're sitting together and having this unbelievable meal after they took their chartered flight to Israel for Shabbos to see their kids. You know, you can have there are kids now in Eretz Yisrael in yeshiva and in seminar, you have meals sent to them. You know that? Did you read about this? No, maybe I shouldn't tell you. I heard about this, my wife and I heard about this last year we were in Eretz Yisrael. There are some despondent seminary students and yeshiva students who feel deprived that they're not able to have from their favorite restaurants here in New York, and there are arrangements that are able to be made to have, I don't know how this works with the freshness and stuff. I don't know how that works, but they're able to have deliveries. In camp, we heard in the mountains, there are kids that are in camp now, and the camps have food that's brought in, that they send in from New York, from restaurants and from other places, that the kids are having food. And in the country, we heard this year that it's $100 a meal for the kid to have. $100 when they're going to camp to rough it up. They're going to camp and they're getting three meals a day, and mommy and daddy had to send them the $100 from Sushi Mitsuyana, I don't know if it still exists, whatever, these places. They had to send a special meal, $100 meal for their poor little boy. It was such a hard day. It's such a hard day in camp. Because he had to walk from the air-conditioned bunk to the air-conditioned dining room, and in between, it wasn't air-conditioned. So now we have to send him $100 supper, even though the camp gave supper. So that's the whole thing. That what about the kids that don't have that, and the whole, you know, girl nefesh, mom. These are things that... So then someone says, is this usher? I got into this whole thing because I saw this muscle. So I got, is this usher? It's forbidden for Jews. Well, you can't... Your kid's not allowed to have a meal from a restaurant. What's so terrible? This is also an aveira. So how do you answer that question? Is this an aveira? It's not an aveira, but it's the opposite of all of Yiddishkeit. But it's not an aveira. There are things like that. You see that parash kedoshim, right? Kedoshim to use noble b'shus hatar. It's not an aveira to send your kid $100 up. But it's the whole nahapichu of what Yiddishkeit is about. This whole... I mean, besides, what are you doing to that kid? What are you saying to the other kids that don't have that? Right? The whole thing. So these rich people, I'll get back to the mashal. These rich people are sitting here. Sometimes the mashal is very geschmack, so you have to spend some more time on it. So they're sitting together, these rich people, and they're spending a huge amount of money on every course, but you could feed a family of poor people for months. And at the end of this unbelievable meal, Nemad Rosh HaAshirim, the Rosh of the Ashirim, the richest guy, gets up and says, Rabbi Sai, Osu lonu l'shkorach hasa'aniyim. Let us not forget the poor people. Like while they're all loosening their buttons and their... Let us not forget the poor people. L'chein, havana rielahem, kefak hai, hey, which means let's give three cheers for poor people. Three cheers for all the poor people. So he says there are many, many people that have very beautiful ideals and they speak in highfalutin ways about the suffering of the poor. People talking about this whole thing now, these thousands of people that are coming, this caravan, right? The immigrants that are coming, they're mixed in with so many of them, Ruschim, and so many. So some liberal was crying, the children. Turns out 70% of them are single men, a significant percentage of whom are extremely dangerous. But you have them sitting there in their houses someplace in Westchester County, maybe near the lady who ran for president, and they're saying, how could America not let in these poor people? Let's give three cheers for the caravan. Three cheers for the caravan. Why don't you go over there and live with them? Go to movement to Guatemala. Or live on the road over there with these poor people. You're sitting there in Scarsdale someplace. Three cheers for the poor people. And how could it be that Trump is a Russia Marusha, that he doesn't want to let these people into three cheers, which the whole thing is sent from those governments. It was only a thing because they wanted to show the riches of the new government that's there, so they sent this, they riled up the poor people that they should come here to make the government there look big. It's all politics, it's all drugs and riches and money and warlords and all kinds of drug dealers, things that are going on behind the scenes, and showing pictures of poor children and these poor women and children. All these liberals are crying, the women, the children, shaker. Not that there aren't terrible stories of poor people, but this is where they're sitting and having their sushi. They're crying about let's give three cheers for the caravan. They find one of these people they should ever go to move, to live. You remember when there was the election, all of these same chavruta were screaming about how they're all going to be leaving America. How many of these people left America? I'm curious how many of these people left America since Trump became president. How many of them left? I wonder if they can make a study of that. How many of these people left America? All the crying over the aniyim, the poor people, and how Trump is torturing the poor people, and he's inciting anti-Semitism. Trump is inciting anti-Semitism against his Einikler. He's inciting anti-Semitism. But this is typical of, this is that extreme Western mentality where the ideas are very nice ideas. The ideas are about love and kindness and doing and giving and the poor and so on. Metzias is no shaykhis to it. Just talking. Hayisnagu shekazu. He shechasanim, speaking in such a way, is itself forgetting poor people, is mistreating poor people. Talking that way is the mistreatment of poor people. The footnote 113. Lo kol hasinim hen confu- I'll say it in English. Not all Chinese are Confucianists. Lo kol ahoidim hem Gandhi. No, it's not all Chinese are Confucius, and not all people from in India are Gandhi. Lo kol hagermanim, and not all Germans are Kant. I think you all know about these three individuals, and not all of the people in their countries with the, all the great ideas that Confucius had, and that Gandhi spoke about, and that Kant spoke about, which these three, Ataka, not big tzaddikim from the big tzaddikim. Gandhi, who everybody thought maybe growing up was some kind of a big tzaddik, already in the past few years they found out a lot of stuff that was not such a big tzaddikus by him. And he did not have warm feelings for Amcha Beis Yisrael. He didn't have warm feelings. Well, v'chol zayis, they had very, very, these three people represent three philosophies of giving and of kindness and of serenity, equanimity, and so on. A philosopher Germani, Immanuel Kant, Amr Shalodai Lassus is a Toib Neshu, who may be to Ellis Laudam, Eliyesh Lassus a Toib Neshu, who Toib. So, of course, Kant spoke very strongly, wrote a lot about how people need to do good, not because of the benefits of good, not because it's advantageous to do good things. You get good things back if you do good, or it works out better for you. Eliyesh Lassus a Toib Neshu, who Toib. You should do good things because it's good. So that's Kant wrote a lot about that. Well, Levi, so that's by the Germans. Immanuel Kant was the Rebbe of the Germans. He was the number one Avodah Zarah in Germany, heir of the Holocaust. That's not when he lived before that, but he was the number one Avodah Zarah in Germany. Every cultured German knew Kant Balpa. That was the Avodah Zarah of Germany. No? So what Maha'ilu Chachamim B'Takanasa, what did that help? How did Kant help? What did it help? What was Germany? I'm not just talking about the leaders of Germany, the rank and file German people. Levi v'chol ha'am ha'germani ha'yoyis is ha'toyv ha'fidu ma'dregos ha'namucha. So Rabbi Nir says, ha'levi, if the German people would just do the first way of doing good, because it's beneficial to do good. Halavai, they should do that. Then they wouldn't have tried to kill every Jew in the world, because the Jew has brought all the good to the world, right? That's all Jews have done for the world. So it was counterproductive to kill Jews. I mean, Einstein had to leave Germany. Does that make sense? Does that make sense that you should lose Einstein? Even l'shitasam, you want to lose a guy like Einstein? It's a chashuv guy to have at home, no? L'shitasam. But even that toiv they couldn't do. Even that toiv. So people like Einstein and like Albert Schweitzer, those kind of people, also, Aros, out. If Einstein would have stuck around, they would have killed him too. They would have killed him, even though all they wanted to do was to blow up the world, and they needed the brains of Einstein to blow up the world, but he was a Jew. He's a Jew. Baruch Hashem, he left earlier. But he was a Jew. So what did Kant do for the German people? The Lahavdil Elf Halchevdos, you ask, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do for Am Yisrael? What did Moshe Rabbeinu do for Am Yisrael? What did Avraham Avinu do for Am Yisrael? That we have millions of answers for. Go to Long Island Jewish Hospital, look on the wall. There was a Jewish doctor, I heard this, I don't know this for a fact, but that this Nazi that was killed the Jews in Pittsburgh, there was a Jewish doctor, is that true? You saw that?
Yeah.
I heard that. There was a Jewish doctor that was treating him. I don't know how he was able to go next to him. But
he was yelling.
What?
Nazi was yelling at the doctor.
That happened? That he was yelling at him? This guy, they say, in the hospital, was yelling at the Jewish doctor.
It's not the Arabs in Israel.
Yeah.
They treat them and then they try to...
I know, they take care. Yeah. They take care of the terrorists. They treat the terrorists. And then they go back out and they kill Jews again.
They do it in the hospital.
They kill Jews again. See, Kant is in the library. And he's much more recent than Moshe Rabbeinu Lahavdil. By us, Avraham Avinu is in the library. You feel that Sari Meinu is in the library. Sari Meinu is alive, mamish. He's not in the library. She's in our lives, every single second of our lives. Sari Imenu, Zivki Imenu. Rachel Imenu, the obvious, the most, they're in the library. Moshe Rabbeinu is in the library, someplace. Kant is in the library. What was the Torelis of Kant on the streets of Berlin and in Munich in 1936, 37, 38, 39, 40? What did Kant, what was he poil? What was Immanuel Kant, what was he poil? Do good for the sake of being good, for its own sake. For the sake of, do good for its own sake. No, what was he poil, Immanuel Kant? Moshe Rabbeinu Lahavdil. Not in life. There's no connection between Kant's ethical demands, what he was demanding of the German people ethically and morally, and what happened. What connection is there between the music of Wagner? And the music, which is beautiful, beautiful music, the most beautiful music. What connection is there between the music and the man, and the people who had concentration camp inmates playing those songs of Wagner before they were taken to be killed? What was the toilus of all of that? What was the toilus? What did it help? What did it do? You can ask a kash like that by the Constitution as well. Over there we see the Baruch Hashem, there were better results. But sof kol sof, in Pnimius. Thomas Jefferson, I don't know, he was a brilliant person that did so much for our country. His own personal life was a mess. And what did his machshava, what was it poil? It's better than the rest of the world, Baruch Hashem. America is a million times better. But what was it poil be'etzim in the tev of a person? Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham Avinu. There's nothing else like that in the world. We don't know because the Baruch Hashem, we don't know the other things in the world. This is who we are. Ein kol kesher ben hadalar Amerikai shalav kosev in God we trust. The ben hamedinius. How humanistic, how klolish America. What's the connection between what it says on every dollar and God we trust and bitachon, the mida bitachon? But me and you, we're just simple Jews. We're trying to think all the time how we could strengthen our bitachon, right? All the time we're working on our bitachon. Trying to be mechazik ourselves, our bitachon, mechazik each other. That's what we're talking, that's what we're thinking about. I don't care what it says on the dollar, you know what it says on the dollar. It's just to say one. And whatever it says on the dollar. You know the story of the Sadam Rebbe when he had to have citizenship? You know that story? So it was decided that they had to make sure that the Sadam Rebbe would become a citizen. Because he was in control of hundreds of thousands of votes and how Jews would vote, and that his voting a certain way or his supporting a certain politician would... So they gave orders that they want. So they said to him that he can get his citizenship, and he said he doesn't know what that is, and he's not going anywhere. So they sent to the Sadam Rebbe in Williamsburg. They sent him like a judge and two people, whatever it is, like a bezin from America. They sent him they should give him citizenship. Now you have to know a certain amount of material if you want to get citizenship. My parents told me when they came that they ask a certain question. You have to read a booklet, basic questions, civil things, history, basic questions. So they asked him a few questions with a translator, and the Sadam Rebbe says, "Chvaisnes, who's Chvaisnes?" So they asked him like different questions about, you know, he didn't know anything. So they asked him, but they were told, make sure he passes. You understand? He had to pass. So finally they said, ask the Rebbe, who's the first president of the United States? So who's going to ask the Rebbe? He says, who's Vice President? Chvaisnes. I don't know who the president is. So they didn't know what to do, the guys. They said, ask the rabbi, whose picture's on the dollar bill? So they asked him, and he said, look to them guy, tell the guy, I only know who's on a $100 bill. Chvaisnes on a dollar bill. That's what they said. A dollar bill, Chvaisnes on a dollar bill. No. In God we trust. It says on the dollar bill, in God we trust. And the way that the dollar is used is the hepech of in God we trust. Lumazois ba'am Yisrael. When it comes to Am Yisrael. Ha'amuna be'elokim ena ksuva al shtaros ha'kesef. Our belief in God is not written on our currency. Does it say something on the Israeli currency about God? I don't know.
Past presidents.
Yeah. So our we don't have to have on our currency about emuna. Because it's not written on our currency, it's written on our hearts. That's what God is. God is engraved in the Jewish heart. That even the biggest apikarsim that we've had, this Rav Kook says this, it's brought down in Mamari Raya. Rav Kook writes that the biggest Jewish apikaris is a bigger mammon than the biggest mammon of the goyim. Yeah? The biggest Jewish apikaris, you can pick your favorite. The biggest Jewish apikaris, now we don't have any more apikaris. The biggest Jewish apikaris is a bigger believer in Hashem than the biggest believer of the Umas Olam, of the nations of the world. Whoever that would be. The biggest apikaris of a Jew is a bigger mammon, Rav Kook said. Because emuna is something that comes from the nefesh elokis, which is a place that's infinite, a part of us that's infinite. A goy doesn't have a nefesh elokis. Sorry, it's not his fault. That's not the inyan. He doesn't have such a thing. He's not wired. So he could be the biggest believer, and Yitak is a person that has belief and the Umas Olam belief in God. Nepikaris is going around that there is no God. He's writing books against God. He's protesting against God, and he's a bigger imam. And Rav Kook says, Rav Kook isn't making this up, it's from the previous. I thought he's a bigger mammon than the one who's going on all day long talking about God. The biggest apikaris of a Jew is a bigger mammon than that guy. Can you prove that? You can only have such a chush, a hergish, that this is true. That's what Rav Kook says. He says, I think and I believe, Rav Kook wrote, that by habikarsis hayyudis agadol b'yosef, that by the biggest Jewish habikarsis, yesh yoyser emuna, there's more emuna, me'asher bebate tefilah shel amim achem, than all of the churches and temples, whatever, mosques of the other nations. And chum v'chem v'asim rezu b'chayres l'shayshu be'elu, chelik beis, there Rav Kook said, Hapikaris Hayoisa Godal Yasola Yoisa Mamin Mashamin Yoisa Godoshubai. Vade Shiva Poyal Oisam Apikarsam Ainamina. But Poal, in reality, those Jewish Apikarsam are not Maminim. And they'll swear to God that they don't believe in God. They're Ainamina. Achem Shayochim La Am Shal Maminim. But they're connected, they're bound to a nation of believers. It's true that in halacha there are times that we have to treat dangerous Jews in a certain way to keep them outside. But they're also going to have a tikkun. Lo yidach min anidach. Even those Jews who are apikaris are going to have a tikkun because they're shayach. They're a limb and an organ from Am Yisrael. La'am shatchuna hapnimish lo'ihu la'amin. A nation whose inner character is emuna. Emuna is not something that a Jew has to acquire. Emunah is something which is the natural essence of a Jew. It's a mistake to think that you have to acquire faith, you know, by reading proofs and stuff like that. You could proofs today if you like them, even though I personally think that they're boring and silly. But proofs are something that maybe in some way could help your emunah, could be in some way to strengthen your emunah, whatever. But the shurish of emunah is not outside. The shurish of the emunah of a Jew is inside. This comes from the nefesh elokis. It's not from outside. It's not from looking at the mountains or from reading some proof or something in a book or from history that it must be, that how could it be that, or you know, if you pour ink on a table, how will it spell something? All these things are not where emunah comes from. Emunah comes from the nefesh elokis. Lam shu misuga maminim, geshem shemechonit, she'en echelul ensorim, ne'e she'yesh lo ba'ya b'manoah, even a car, so let's say you got an IP cars. So Rav Avinia says, so you have a car that doesn't work. The car right now is not going. But the car is a min. It's a species of something that moves, that travels. It needs to have a tikkun. You need to have it fixed. But it's a car. It's just not working. A Jew that's not Bikaris is a Yid. It's just not working. But it can be fixed. The engine is not running. Something is wrong. The engine's not running. And you see a Jew that's not a Shomer Mitzvah, so he's a Yid. With all that's holy in a Jew he has, even a not Bikaris. Alchas Kama Vakama, sweet, beautiful Jews that were killed in Pittsburgh. What did they know, right? I'm not going to go into that Indian again. But the engine is not there. The engine is not running. It's running according to the gasoline that was put into it, right? So you go to the gas thing, and it has different types of gasoline. Jews usually just buy the lowest. But it has to be. I don't know who buys it. But there are three types of gasoline. No, high test, right? Premium, and what's the one?
Regular.
Regular. That's the Jewish gasoline is regular. So we had problems with one of the cars. Now, usually now you lease cars, so you don't have these problems. But before the summer, with my wife's car, so there were some problems with some part of the thing. And we had to take it to the dealer because of the warranty and everything. And he said, an Eitz HaTov, he said to me that you have to, so I took the car to him, he said, you have to get only high test. High test. So I'm there with my wife, and I look at my wife, and I say, here? She says, only high test. And like, maybe he's right, but there's no musig like that. Some of you, I don't want to ask you, don't raise your hand if you use high test. I don't want to insult anybody. I never thought that was, it was like there was a, I see it like there being two crosses, and then a mug and dove. You know what I mean? Like, there are two crosses on the high test and premium, and then on the cheap one, there's a mug and dove. And I go straight for the mug and dove. That's how you pump gas. The engine, so it could be that there are Jews that because the gas is not a high quality gas, or the engine is up, something is wrong with the engine. Say they didn't go to the right school, he got something wrong. So, but he's a car. Not just a car, it's a Rolls Royce. There's something wrong. That's how you look at a Jew that's not religious, or that's, God forbid, strongly anti. It's not. And in the end, he's gonna get to Yerushalayim. He'll travel with us to Yerushalayim. It's not. The engine is something that's wrong. Sheikhs, I'll call upon the Suga Kelim Anoisa. But if you don't have a car, or if you say using this emotional, that there's another person that has something that Bechlal is not Shaykh to something that moves. So you can sit on the table all day and try to get to Yerushalayim. It's not going to work. And so someone said, no, the table's broken. Fix the table and you're going to get to Yerushalayim if you sit on it. That's not going to happen. You could sit your whole life on the table, it's not going to get you to Yerushalayim. Even if they make all kinds of tikkunim, it's not going to get to Yerushalayim because it's a table. A person who understands in Pnimius the Indian of a Jew and a Yehudi and an Yehudi, not talking here about nice and not nice, and then we're getting back to Westchester. I'm not talking about that. This goes to Yerushalayim and this doesn't. So, that's all. The table's bare, the table's not bare. It's a wonderful table and it serves an important purpose. You can do things with the table, you can eat on it, you can learn on it. It's gewaltig. We have our Karsa Tov, thank you. But it doesn't go to Yerushalayim, understand? That's not equipped to go to Yerushalayim. A Yid and a Yehudi and any Yehudi, Akar Satov, you're good, you're gewaltig, you're wonderful, you're nice, but you don't go to Yerushalayim. Doesn't go. Doesn't have. It's not that min. It's a different min. There's Doimem, Tzomer, Chai, Medaber. Medaber includes all the people of the world, and like Rabbi Levi, right? Mm-hmm. Moral. Then there's another min in creation that's called Yisrael. It's another min. It's another species, something different. It's called the Yisrael. And the essence of that min is Atoy v'Heloki Amuchlat. You see this Jew is rotten, Chas v'Shalom, and this guy is wonderful and charitable. Say that. And we give Hakar Satov for that guy? Fantastic. And this Jew might have to be sent away because he's not behaving. That's true. But in Pnimius, this is a broken down Rolls Royce, and that's the table. Which also serves an important function and should be recognized for all that it's doing. but it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Now, this, what we're talking about, obviously many, many, many people would be very upset about, would be very hurt about, because it feels wrong to them. But that's not, we're not talking about feelings, we're talking about metzius. It's not about how you feel. You feel that this is not nice, you feel. Then we feel, like Kant felt also, and that what happened to Germany. They all felt a certain way. And then the outcome of that was in the concentration camp. Have I finish? I have to leave early. He's not talking about when Rav Kook said that the biggest apikoros has more amuna than the biggest believer of the goyim. He wasn't saying bepoil that we see this or that it's in any way up and running. It's bekoyach. Mitzad haskula of a koyches and nefesh, k'may shem gnuzim bekoyach. The koyches and nefesh, the skulas and nefesh, the pnimius, the etzem of who the person is, he's a Rolls Royce. It's broken down. But the etzem, the koyches and nefesh, Masha'en Kain, the Ein Yehudi is doing fine, he's doing fantastic. He's top percentile of the human race, and we're market toiv, but it's limited. It does not have the, in its essence, it does not have that Torah Elokei Muchlat. So Rav Kook is saying that we lived in that environment for 1,000 years. We lived in an environment of that for 1,000 years of people who were sometimes yechidim, were behaving nicely, talking nicely, producing nice poems, art, music, philosophy. But in the end, threw us into ovens. You understand? That's the step shot. In the end, they threw us into ovens. In the end. That was the finest of them, the most chashuv of them. Threw us into ovens. So, and by Jews, so even though there are Jews who claim to be apikorsim, or claim to be atheists, who couldn't care less about fine music and about philosophy, and they conduct themselves in a way that's coarse and unrefined and sometimes terrible, over chal zayis. What has Am Yisrael done in the world and for the world, and what the Bnei Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov sorry, Rivka Rachel Leah for the world? Hashem berachas avim b'kol. That's all. And Chayesar, the Tzari Meinu lived herself and what she gave to the world. Okay, well, forgive me, I'm going to have to leave now. We'll continue next week. Good Shabbos.